Rat Pack, where you at?
I wish I knew how to put you.
Hey, hey, what's going on? It's Friday, September 20th. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. And we got to get through the remaining 15 games of the week. Preview of you here. Give you a couple quick thoughts on Thursday Night Football as well. I'm not going to beat around the bush. So quick promo, ftnfantasy.com, updated rankings, waiver wire tool, the report, which is my game-by-game breakdown, and so much more. DVOA, so much more over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, real quick on Thursday Night Football. Don't want to spend much time here, but Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers, which is good. And contrary to the take of a lot of people who were watching this game, I can't tell you how many people said, oh, he's just not looking at Garrett Wilson. Well, yeah, he was. A lot, in fact. 9 targets for Garrett Wilson. Don't give me this Alan Lazard crap. Lazard had 3 targets, right? Garrett Wilson, 9 targets, caught 5 for 33 and a touchdown. Not the best day, but it was solid for fantasy. He got to double digit in PPR, and that's all that really matters. The other big thing here, like, slow your roll a little bit with Braylon Allen. Like, yes, he looks very good. Don't get me wrong. But the key is usage. Breece Hall played 50 snaps. Braylon Allen played 21. So we're not there where Braylon Allen has independent value, where we can use him as a flex option. We're closer than where we were last week, but we're still not there. On the other side, Pop Douglas trending up. We'll talk about him in waivers. 7 for 69. I do think the change is coming. I don't know if it happens this week. Now, I had said week 4.5 was the line that I set. So we're right around there. We're pretty close. I thought it was going to be over. I thought week 5 would be the point where we see Drake May. We saw him obviously last night, but I mean, as a starter. So we're close. And then don't panic over Ramondre Stevenson. We're not going to take one bad game and use that to negate 2 good games. And it was just a bad game really across the board for the Patriots offense. So I'm not going to worry too much. I mean, obviously, the Jets are good on the defensive side of the ball. All right, so let's get into the previews for the week. And we're going to start with the Giants and Cleveland Browns. And just as a reminder, if it's somebody who's an obvious start, I'm not going to really say much about them. I'm going to highlight one or two things from each of these games. And if you want all of the information, just check out my rankings at ftnfantasy.com. Of course, the best time to do so is in that final hour or so before kickoff on Sundays. That's when I make my start-sit decisions, and that's what I recommend to everybody. There's really no sense in making a start-sit decision even now on a Friday. Like, we don't need to until Sunday. Okay, so on the Giants side, Daniel Jones is doing enough for Malik Nabers to do his thing, and that's all we really need out of Daniel Jones right now. Malik Nabers is a top 12 option this week. And I actually don't mind what we saw to Devin Singletary. It's not a great matchup, but he looked solid last week. I think he could flex him out. On the other side, well, has not been the best start to the season for Amari Cooper, has it? Or Deshaun Watson, for that matter. But here's sort of my general take. Like, I think you could use Watson in a super flex and be fine. I am not using him in a 1 quarterback, but I do really like him in DFS this week. It's a nice matchup against the Giants, and I'm getting those vibes. Like, I'll tell you, this is Amari Cooper. As soon as everybody is done with him, he blows up. Now, not a guarantee, but I am using him as a wide receiver 3, and I am definitely using him in DFS this week. Be careful with the backfield. It is a split between Jerome Ford and Deontay Foreman. Foreman's really cheap in DFS, so he's worth a look there. But be very careful in redraft leagues. You know, he is season-long fantasy football leagues. He is at best a flex play. And really, they're both flex plays. All right, Green Bay, Tennessee. So we have on the Green Bay side, we're keeping a close eye on the latest with Jordan Love. I really think this is going to be a 50-50. If he goes limited today, it'll definitely be a 50-50. If he's full and I don't have that practice report right now, then he could very well play, and that will put all of the, you know, Packers wide receivers back in play. So Jaden Reed, who should be good to go for this one, Christian Watson, maybe more as a flex play, and then Romeo Doubs is like a lower ceiling flex play. Without them, it's just Josh Jacobs, and I would expect a lot of Josh Jacobs in this one if Malik Willis has to start. On the other side, man, I don't know how much longer we're going to endure Will Levis, or at least the Tennessee Titans are going to endure him. If he makes more mistakes, if he keeps making those just horrible mistakes like he's made in the last 2 weeks, he's not going to be long for the job. They'll go to Mason Rudolph. You won't have as much upside with Mason Rudolph, but it should be cleaner football. And that's good for Calvin Ridley. Now, be careful with DeAndre Hopkins because we're still ramping up here. I think he's fine to have on benches. Like, if he was dropped in a league, I'm not running out to necessarily get him. And just a quick word on those drops. Like, if you see somebody who's dropped and they're like a fringy type guy like Hopkins is right now, in order for you to pick them up, I mean, it's kind of stating the obvious, but sometimes the obvious has to be stated. You really need somebody who's droppable in order to do so. You can't just like drop the lowest player on your bench because that may end up being a bad drop. So I see people make that mistake all the time. Just be very careful. Sometimes if you don't have a drop, guess what? You don't have a drop. There's nobody to drop. You can't make a move. Don't make that mistake. So I see far too many people make that mistake and drop players they shouldn't be dropping just because there's somebody else out there who's kind of a lateral move on waivers. Otherwise, Tony Pollard did move down a little bit from my initial rankings because it does look like Tajay Spears is going to play, but Pollard's still an RB2. Chicago and Indianapolis, two young quarterbacks here. Can Caleb Williams take a step forward? Can Anthony Richardson take a step forward as a passer? We know he's a great runner, but he's been rough this season as a passer. On the Chicago side, Keenan Allen trending towards not playing, but really DJ Moore is the only playable option. I'm going to keep Rome Odunze on benches where I have him, because I still want to give Caleb Williams a good month or so to ramp up here. This is a fantastic matchup for DeAndre Swift, who has been very flat so far this season. But the Colts have given up 474 rushing yards over the first 2 weeks. It's the most by any team since the 1978 Baltimore Colts. So that was them. They've given up back-to-back 150-yard rushers or 150-plus yard rushers in Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs. So yeah, if there's a get-right game for DeAndre Swift, this is it. Over to the other side, you know, with Richardson, it has not been accurate. Let's put it that way. 49% completion rate is low. That's Tebow-esque right there. Part of it, though, is because he's thrown the ball so far downfield, 13.7 air yards per attempt. They need to rein that in a little bit more. He has to, you know, work the short and intermediate a little bit more, and I think that will ultimately help Michael Pittman, who I'm still ranking as a wide receiver too. He's a little dinged up, but he's going to play here. Still ranking him as a wide receiver too. Looks like Downs will be back this week, so we'll see how that impacts Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce is not startable for me. Moving on to Houston and Minnesota. All right, so let's get to it. So Nico Collins, I'm not worried about at all. He practiced limited yesterday. He's going to play. I have no doubt there. But I don't have an official practice report. However, on social media with Joe Mixon, the reporting is he was not cited at the media portion of practice, the open portion. That doesn't mean he isn't practicing, but usually that's what it means. Neither he nor Dameon Pierce is out there. So there is a lot to unpack with this one. If both Mixon and Dameon Pierce don't go, Cam Akers will be the lead back. Are we excited about Cam Akers? Well, I don't know how you feel, but I remember the past. So no, I am not that excited about him, although the run scheme is very favorable. However, having said that, the run scheme is very similar to the one that he ran in with the Rams and he got ran out of town. So let's not just completely forget history with Cam Akers. I think the safest bet would be to view him as a flex option. I have not run the numbers and I'm not going to run the numbers until I get an official practice report because, like I said, I don't like to get ahead of myself. But that's kind of where my brain is. We'll see if my brain matches up with my numbers. Usually they're pretty close. You know, usually I have a good sense of where the projections are going to ultimately go, but I don't want to calculate them before I get that information. So is Cam Akers worth grabbing? Yes. And here's something interesting. Now, I don't know if this changes before you listen or, you know, you listen to this podcast and it changes before that point. But right now on ESPN, for example, Cam Akers has a projection of zero. That means if you do the thing that a lot of people do and you sort by projected points and you make your waiver claims or your drop ads that way, you're not going to see him. But then again, neither is your opponent. So if you want to get in there quickly, fly under the radar and grab him, you just have to search for his name. I can guarantee that there's a good chance he's out there in your leagues. A flex play, though. Just a flex play. Be careful with Stephon Diggs. 5.4 air yards per target, that is low. So that means low upside there. Over to the other side, Sam Darnold continues to take steps forward here. I think he is, at this point, a potential streamer option. Now, I'm not overly bullish on him. My main fringe quarterback ones this week would be Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold, and Derek Carr. So they're all five of them are so close in projections. They're so close to that top 12. Darnold's there. I mean, he can throw the ball around the yard at least as of right now. And yeah, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, but for now I'm going to ride the ride. And we have Justin Jefferson playing well, maybe Jordan Addison back in this one as well. Addison, probably more of a flex option if he does, in fact, come back. Philly, New Orleans. On the Philly side, I mean, I guess the big thing here is A.J. Brown is not expected to play. And when he said he was going to miss multiple weeks, whenever I hear that from any player, the first thing that I do is I go check the team's schedule. And I look to where the bye week is, because a lot of times these players, if there's a bye week looming, they will be out through the bye week. And lo and behold, the Eagles' bye week is in week 5. That means this week, next week, I would not expect him. I'd expect him back in week 6. Devontae Smith, he's a wide receiver one without him. This should be a really, really fun game. I mentioned Derek Carr. The reason why I'm not overly bullish on him is, you know, not because of his play. I think he's been very good, but 39 passes attempted this season, not per game, total 19 and a half per game. That's not sustainable. Also, long touchdowns are not sustainable. So we need to see more volume out of him before we start trusting him as a QB one. And you know, what I'm really seeing is a lot of people just chasing last week's points. That's a common phenomenon in fantasy football. They go after last week's points and then they're shocked as to why those points don't keep happening week in and week out. Like, tight end is a prime example of this. Like, this upcoming week, there's going to be so many people who add Tyler Conklin. I didn't even talk about him because he's Tyler Conklin. We know who he is. He is a guy who occasionally has games like that. And you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't do that consistently. And he doesn't score touchdowns. He's had 6 touchdowns over the last 3 years, playing 51 games over that span. So people are going to add him this week, and then guess what they're going to do in week 5? They're going to drop him. This upcoming week, they're going to drop Hunter Henry because, you know, he didn't have a big game this past week, you know, or last night. He did in week 2. Like, it's the tight end merry-go-round. So a lot of people just chasing last week's points. Be careful about that with Carr. This is a great spot for Alvin Kamara. It's crazy. He's my number one, but I'm going to ride the ride as long as it happens here with Alvin Kamara. If you have him, good for you. Chargers, Steelers. On the Chargers side, I am exercising caution with both Quentin Johnston and J.K. Dobbins. Johnston, because it was one good game. Let's not chase last week's points. Let's see it happen again. If it happens again, oh yeah, believe me, I'm in on that. But for now, I think if you picked him up, that's fine. Let's see what we get out of him. As far as J.K. Dobbins, he's been on fire so far this season, but he is in a full-blown timeshare with Gus Edwards. Last week, 50-50 split in terms of snaps and basically in terms of work as well. That's not going away. So this is a much tougher matchup. People are like, why are you so low on him? I don't think I'm being low. I think I'm being realistic. He's more of a flex play, and that's fine. You know, flex play, if he gets in there and has another big game, you can dunk on me and victory lap me all day long, but it's not going to change the way that I approach rankings and projections. I'm going to be conservative here because that's the best bet. Long-term sustainability is what I'm aiming for. On the other side, Justin Fields really takes the air out of this offense. It's really tough to use George Pickens. I mean, Najee Harris is a flex option, and I think he's been fine. I know, you know, it's like every year people forget who Najee Harris is. He is a lower ceiling guy, but he has a decent floor. That's what Najee Harris is. So he's a flex play this week. Denver and Tampa. Really, for Denver's sake, Cortland Sutton, we can't use him as anything more than a flex option until Bo Nix really starts to make progress. Will that happen? I don't know. So it's tough on that side. Over to the Tampa side, be aware that, you know, Mike Evans is very likely to see Pat Surtain. So if it isn't the best game, that isn't necessarily a reason to panic. I did downgrade him below Chris Godwin, who's been on fire this season. Godwin is more of a fringe wide receiver one, whereas you're in wide receiver two territory with Evans. He's still very startable. Don't get me wrong. We'll see if Baker can continue to roll. I mean, he's a QB one option at this point. Like, he's a top 12 play. Carolina and Vegas, we will see how Andy Dalton does. He has one start with the Panthers. It was last season against Seattle. He threw for 361 yards. That was as many 300-yard games as Bryce Young had. So, but again, he's not startable. I guess the arrow is at least in theory pointing up for Deontay Johnson, but we have to see what happens in this game. Not going too overboard with Johnson. On the other side, I mean, obviously Davante Adams and Brock Bowers are rolling, but be careful about this backfield. You know, the one thing that I noticed is a lot of people were adding Alexander Mattison this week. That was weird to me. Like, I know he scored a touchdown in each of the last 2 weeks, but this is just straight up chasing those points. Because if you add it all up and you look beneath the surface here, you know, go beyond the box score. Zamir White played 39 snaps last week. Alexander Mattison played 13. 13 is not enough. And I don't care if it's against Carolina. It's not enough to consider this guy a strong option. Mattison will have potentially more snaps than White at various points when the Raiders play from behind, but they're pretty heavily favored in this one. So I don't know if that game script is very conducive. I'd be very cautious with Alexander Mattison. Miami, Seattle, obviously we have no Tua. So of course, Skylar Thompson takes the wind out of the sails here for, you know, Tyreek, for Waddle. Tyreek's down in wide receiver two territory, Waddle in wide receiver three territory. If your instinct right now is to try and trade Tyreek away, you're probably a bad investor. This is not the time to trade him away. What you really want is for him to have a big week this week, and then you trade him away. But usually, you won't want to do that. So I would just say stay the course. We don't know what Tua's timetable is, but for now, he's still Tyreek Hill. And even with, you know, like Skylar Thompson's last start, he threw for 220 yards. It's not like he threw for 0 yards or like a Jacoby Brissett stat line. So I'm still using him. I'm still rolling here. To the other side, it doesn't look like Walker is going to play. Kenneth Walker is going to play in this one. So another week of Zach Charbonnet as a top 12 option, which I'm okay with, no doubt about that. Baltimore and Dallas. On the Baltimore side, crazy, man. You know, like the tight end merry-go-round, I didn't think it was going to apply to Isaiah Likely, and yet people were dropping Isaiah Likely this week. Like, this is bananas, man. He was going for like 70% of fab for a freaking tight end, and then people are dropping him the next week. Like, totally nuts. It is sometimes wild how insane, you know, how kind of unhinged a lot of fantasy managers are. It's wild, man. Let's see how this thing works out. Like, yes, Mark Andrews is still the top tight end here, but Likely is very playable. He still has a massive ceiling. He's still the same dude he was in week one. It's just, he's not going to blow up every single week. It's just not going to happen. So be careful with that kind of mindset. Don't be too unhinged, okay? That's the word of the day here. Unhinged, okay? Don't be too unhinged. All right, on the Dallas side, no worries about CeeDee Lamb. I know some people panicked after the first practice, but he's practicing. He's going to be good to go. Be careful about the backfield. I'm being patient here. Rico Dowdle outsnapped Zeke last week, that is 29-26, but it was a blowout loss. So let's see how this week goes. Neither one of them is playable. Obviously, Dowdle has potentially a higher ceiling, but potential doesn't mean anything unless it comes to fruition. San Francisco and the Rams, guess what? In this game, just like we drew it up, we are going to have no Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, or Puka Nacua. Oh, joy. Jordan Mason's been pretty good, though, so there's that. Oh, and George Kittle popped up on the injury report with a DNP due to a hamstring yesterday. Now, actually, believe it or not, that isn't the worst case scenario. It would have been worse if it was a limited with a hamstring, because that means it would have taken place during practice. This looks like either it was an existing injury, or it happened like maybe at the very, 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 very end of practice on Wednesday. I'm not overly concerned here, but if he goes DNP again, obviously you'll have to have a different plan in place. Remember, plan for the worst, hope for the best in fantasy football. On the Rams side, I'll use Robinson as a wide receiver three, DeMarcus Robinson, but that's as far as I'm going. If you picked up Tyler Johnson or Jordan Whittington, cool. Let's see how they are on the bench, and then we'll take it from there. I often say, I'd rather a player blow up on my bench than put up a dud in my starting lineup. And if they haven't proved it yet, Let's let them blow up on the bench first before using them in starting lineups. Detroit, Arizona, that's going to be a fun game, man. Get your popcorn ready. And we know what we're using on the Detroit side, and that includes Sam Laporta. Hasn't been the best start, but there is a reason why I don't like to draft those elite tight ends early, and this is part of that reason. It's not the only reason, but it is a big part of it. If they get off to a slow start, then everybody loses their minds because they drafted him in the second round or third round. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. On the other side, Kyler keeps moving up. You know, and the beauty to him with his dual threat ability, like, he's a good passing quarterback and he's a great running quarterback. So you add that together, and this week you're in elite fantasy territory. He's a top five play. And I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. got right back in our good graces after a slow start. And I think he's going to be just fine. He's definitely got a wide range between his ceiling and floor. But, you know, kind of like a Mike Evans, like an early career Mike Evans, maybe something like that, because he's getting these deep targets. But either way, come on. Kansas City, Atlanta, Sunday night football. All right. We don't know. We don't know what Kansas City is going to do in the backfield. Here's what I do know. I know that Carson Steele is there. I know that Samaje Perine is there. I know that in theory, those two guys would constitute the early down runner in Steele and the passing down back in Perine. Could see a little bit of the other guy doing the other thing, but largely that's what I'd expect. Keontae Ingram is on the active roster. He is no longer on the practice squad. Kareem Hunt is on the practice squad. And I know there were some rumblings about, hey, Kareem Hunt could potentially play this week. I highly doubt it. Highly doubt it. They have no reason to elevate him from practice squad if they already have three running backs on the roster, and it would be really just a poor use of their practice squad spot. So I wouldn't expect that. Now, if you picked up Hunt, hopefully he didn't spend too much, and maybe it's worth sitting on him. Let's see what happens. I mean, I don't really believe in him from a skill standpoint at this point in his career, but then again, all he really has to do is score touchdowns to be fantasy viable, and he could do that in this offense. But, you know, as of now, I have Perine and Steele as flex options, but if I can get away with it and not use them, that's what I'm going to do and see what happens from here. If you picked up Steele, hopefully you didn't spend much more than 10 to 15%. If you spent 10 to 15% and you're wrong, it's not going to end your season. If you spent 70% and you're wrong, that's pretty detrimental to you. It's pretty detrimental. So let's see what we have, and then we'll take it from there. Steele could be the next Peyton Hillis or something like that. And he could also be the next guy that we forget about in 2 weeks. We'll see. On the Atlanta side, pretty straightforward. I think Kirk Cousins looked really good last week overall. Obviously, the Eagles can sometimes do that to quarterbacks. But he looked, more importantly, he looked more spry than he did in week one. And I think that's the most important thing. Drake London here is going to have a tough matchup, but he's still a wide receiver too. Obviously, Bijan, and hey, it's Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts plays tight end. So, you know, much like a lot of these guys, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And that includes in the next game with, you know, Dalton Kincaid for the Buffalo Bills. So Jacksonville, Buffalo, there are two Monday night games. I don't know, whatever. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, Dalton Kincaid. Otherwise, it's Josh Allen and James Cook. Like, I'm not sold on Khalil Shakir as being a viable fantasy option unless he starts playing all three downs. Like, he comes off the field when they are in two wide receiver sets. It's hard to sustain value if you're off the field. So for right now, there's that. And I'm not going too overboard on James Cook. Yes, the touchdown productivity was great last week, but two long touchdowns, not sustainable. He did get a goal line carry. I'm going to give him that. So he's still a back end RB1, running hard, running well, but I'm pumping the brakes just a little bit there, okay? On the other side, Trevor Lawrence, only a 51% completion rate so far this season, but second in air yards per throw, 11.9. He's pushing vertical. I'm not starting him. But I would not be surprised if there is a big game brewing, whether it's this week or not. But I would not be surprised if that big game came out. I like the connection he has with Brian Thomas Jr. He is actually the preferred fantasy wide receiver this week, not Christian Kirk for this group. And it does not look like Evan Ingram is going to play, but, you know, still up in the air on that one. I just would plan to not have him. All right, last game on the slate, Washington and Cincinnati. Giddy up, Cincinnati. This is a great matchup for Joe Burrow and company. He actually could hit his 100th career passing touchdown. All he needs is one. to do so that would tie Stafford and Andrew Luck, sixth fastest in history. It would be his 55th game. This is a beautiful matchup for the passing game. Like, if you're concerned about Ja'Marr Chase, I don't think you will be after this week. T. Higgins should be back out there as well. Getting a lot of Chase Brown questions. So here's my general thought on this backfield. Zach Moss is usable. Chase Brown is not. Is Chase Brown droppable? I don't know, because I don't know who you're dropping him for. That's why I refuse to give that advice. And I know people want that advice because that's what you've been trained to ask and the answers you're expecting to get by the fantasy industry for as long as this industry has ever existed. And I will tell you flat out, it is crappy advice. If I just say, oh yeah, drop him. Like, what kind of advice is that? I don't know your roster. I don't know who you're dropping him for. I don't know if you're in a deep league, a shallow league. I don't know what you have going on your roster, or your bench, whatever. I don't know any of those things. So if you're going to make a drop, ask yourself, is this going to make my roster better? If I drop Chase Brown for player X, is it going to make my roster better? Do I need this player? What is the purpose of me adding this player? Like, what is the purpose of me adding Cam Akers? Oh, I need a flex play this week. Okay, cool. Then drop Chase Brown because you need a flex play and you can't use Chase Brown there. But if you're just dropping him for another guy who you're not going to be able to start, what's really the point, right? Maybe there is a point, maybe there isn't. Always be aware of that. And I refuse to give crappy advice. I know that people out there, the haters, are going to say that I've made giving crappy advice a high art, but I refuse to do it. Even though that's what you've been trained to do, doesn't mean it's right. All right, last team here, Washington. Digging Jaden Daniels, even though he's not throwing the ball downfield. It's the running ability. He is a top 10 play this week. I'm willing to give Terry McLaurin the benefit of the doubt as he remains a wide receiver 3 play. And how about Brian Robinson, man? He's looking good. That was a career best last week, 133 rushing yards. He averages 6 yards per carry. That's a lot. That's way up. He's not going to stay up here, but still, last year, 4.1. The year before that, 3.9. So he's looking pretty solid. And while Eckler isn't doing much on the ground, he is second among running backs in the league in receiving yards with 99. So he's contributing enough to maybe be flex worthy there. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the games this weekend. And of course, if you're listening to the show and you want more of me, make sure you check out that other pregame show, which is on CBS Sports Network. You can also look on Paramount Plus, but it airs live from 8 to noon Eastern on Sunday mornings. I'm on that pregame show. I get to talk about betting and fantasy and all kinds of college football. It's awesome. So go check that out for sure. It's such a fun show. And it's a 4-hour show too, so you can put it on in the background as you're getting ready for your day. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. And I'm going to be back on Monday on this feed to break down my biggest takeaways from the action in week 3. Don't do anything crazy. Deep breath, all right? It's going to be okay. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.